In the last talk, we talked about the exterior means to holiness, talked about spiritual direction, and also a rule of life. So hopefully now you are looking at your life and make that more organized. If you do find what you have an easy way to have some spiritual reading, meditation, morning, evening prayer every day, I do recommend you to look into a resource called the Magnificat. It's a lovely little book that has the mass reading, the mass prayer. But also, of course, if you do the divine office, that's the best morning, evening prayer. But if you find the morning, evening prayer is a bit too long for you, Magnificat have a simplified version of morning, evening prayer based on the divine office. So I think you can still do the night prayer from the divine office. But morning, evening prayer, Magnificat have a short one to have the elements of the divine office. And then also every day there is a meditation, you can read and meditate on it, and also a little bit about the lives of the saints that can serve as like a spiritual reading. So it's something that if you do want one resource that might help you in different areas that I mentioned, there's a little book to have. And they have that every month. It's like a missalette, but it's called the Magnificat. I hope that one day they will have the Canadian translation. That it will be good that we can actually order them in the parish and have people to pick from that, from the back of the church. But for now, they don't have the Canadian translation, so waiting for that to happen. They have that in, I think, in New Zealand, in Ireland, in many different places, not Canada yet, the Canadian, the written translation. So that's something to think about. And the third exterior means of holiness, according to Tantri, is spiritual reading and conferences. There is, before I left to this retreat, somebody posted on Facebook something like that. That 33% high school graduate never read another book the rest of their life. And then 42% of college graduate never read a book the rest of their life. And then 57% of new books are not read to completion. And then 70% of U.S. adults have not been in a bookstore in the last 5 years. Maybe they buy from Amazon, who knows. And then 80% of U.S. families did not buy or read a book in the last year. And then it's also pointed out that the more a child reads, the more likely they are able to understand the emotions of others. And then another thing they put up is that 1 hour per day in your chosen field of reading will make you an international expert in certain years. Anyhow, I don't know how true it is, but I think you know that is something to think about, that maybe a lot of people don't read books anymore. But reading is a good way for us to be able to continue to grow in our lives. The interesting thing is when they put that on Facebook, some people come in, and then there's one lady who come in that, you know, I dated a guy, he bought and he never read a book after his graduation. You know, I should know better, you know, you can work out our relationship. Because after the wedding is passed, there's nothing to say. So if you're thinking about that, in relationship, you know, you need to be knowledgeable, you need to maintain your friendship. You think about your friendship with God, also the reading is something that helps to maintain our relationship and friendship with God. And so God gives us a book, the Bible, but also God gives us many of the spiritual writers to actually help us to develop our relationship with Him. So the spiritual reading is a wonderful way to grow in love for God. In a good old day catechism, where thought was required to memorize, you know, it mentioned that we have to know, love, and serve God. You remember that?
Yes.
You have to know, love, and serve God. The knowing comes before loving, loving before serving, because if we don't know a person, we cannot love. But when you love, it's easy to serve. So with God Himself, we can know Him. And that knowledge needs to be deepened. It's not just an elementary or high school knowledge. It's a lifelong deepening of knowledge. And so reading, spiritual reading is something that helps us to deepen our relationship with God, to know Him better. So the life of the saints, or the writing of the saints, are really powerful. Detailed life of the saints is always edifying. So we are going through that in the prayer group right now. We are going through the life of St. John Bosco. But also, spiritual writings of the saints also really helpful. We have gone through St. Catherine Siena, the Dialogue. We have gone through St. Catherine de Sales, the Introduction to the Divine Life. Most likely after John Bosco, we'll go through the Sinner's Guide. So it's a different kind of book that we can read. So just some example, for example, you know, some of the really old one, you know, the Rule of St. Benedict, we have visited yesterday, Letter to St. Ignatius of Antioch, City of God and Confession of St. Augustine, and Spiritual Exercise of St. Ignatius of Loyola, Imitation of Christ by Thomas Aquinas of Campus. It might be, you know, something we talk about in the prayer meeting. I will share, you know, about the seminary life of St. John Bosco. But as a seminarian, St. John Bosco loved to read. He is really disciplined. He was the first one to get up in the morning so that he could read by the window for 15 minutes before the bell rang for church. And then he always got book in on his hands. So when the professor waiting them to come to class, he would use those times to read. When they went out, you know, he would be reading a book too. And so he is really disciplined, and he always makes sure that he eats only a moderate amount of food, that digestion will finish in 20 minutes. So it won't hinder his mental capacity. You know, he will not fall asleep in the afternoon. So also one day, you know, when he was in seminary, he came to adoration to visit the Blessed Sacrament. Remember I mentioned that one of the important exercises is to visit the Blessed Sacrament. So he did that, and then he didn't bring any book with him. So there was an Imitation of Christ in the chapel. So he read the session on the Holy Eucharist. And he commented that one sentence in that book contains more doctrine and ethics than many big volumes of ancient classics. So he defined that this is the book that actually changed him, that it was because of that book he more intend to read spiritual book and even breaking away more from non-spiritual books. Now oftentimes the kind of books that we read is often that make us the kind of person we are going to be. One of the things is that in the old days, when Bob was still a child, you know, the church didn't have the index, you know. When the church was really careful about what are the books that are forbidden that we should not read. Because the understanding is reading bad books will lead us into the really wrong direction. And St. John Bosco in his life, he finds that there are some people they went astray because of reading bad material. But now that materials are available all over the place on the internet. It's flooded with bad materials. And oftentimes, you know, movies, a lot of things, they give us the ideals of the world, the standard of the world, which a lot of times really subtle, not as obvious, it's completely opposite, contrary to the standard of the gospel. So when we have to equip ourselves to have the standard of the gospel, we have to spend time to read. Sometimes maybe, you know, now when I say reading, you can also include listening to good DVDs or good Catholic to watch a DVD or CD. It's helpful, you know, but things that can help us to have knowing God better, to help us to immerse ourselves into the ideas, the ideals, the standard of the gospel, so that we can be more critical when we get materials from the world. Sometimes I think it's important that when we are dealing with things in the world, that at least we need to have that spirit of being critical. But when you are so innocent, so lost, you just accept everything from the world without any critical thinking.
Oh, thank you. This is really lost. We don't know yet. So that when we have the spiritual reading, it helps our mind to be more alert. What is good, what is not good. And sometimes in fact it's good to read some of the older reading, the classic, and then also read some that are more modern. Because every time and age, there are something that is improving, but also there's something that is a bit of a decline. So I'm quite sure when people look back to our age, they will see there's something that is a progress, but in many areas there's a decline in our age. So every time and age there's something good, there's also something really bad. So in spiritual reading, when we look at the different age, we can learn something good from the past age. But also we will have to understand that something that the ancient might not be dealing with in as a practical way as we are right now in our circumstance. So some of the more modern writer that but in continuity with the past can also help us to how to apply the ancient wisdom to our own situation. But the thing is that if there's a writer who actually has a radical break on the past, that's not helpful. Because we do need to learn from the past, and also we need to have the wisdom to apply, knowing that sometimes writing in the past can have their own limitation also, because there's further development in some area, we have to have the love for the past, but also have the love for something that can help us to apply things to our current situation. And doing spiritual reading is always important for us to see things in the light of faith, that it is the time we strive to listen to God. God can speak to us through the spiritual writers. You know, just as Satan used a lot of the secular materials to get disciples for himself, so God made use of spiritual reading to help us to come close to him. And also, when we have that desire to grow in holiness, that's what spiritual reading is for. Have that desire to grow in holiness through spiritual reading. It's not just to satisfy our curiosity, but it's for our growing in holiness. So when we see something, some good idea in the spiritual writing, think about how can I apply this to me, to myself? Not to other people. You might think, oh, this is a good teaching, better for other people than for me. It's a bit difficult for me to practice, lacking practice, not me. But when you do spiritual reading, try to apply that. See, how can that apply to me? And of course, think about what might be a practical way to put into practice. St. John Newby said, stop to consider, ponder, and release the truths that make greater appeal to you in order to fix them in your mind. And so from that, you can have the acts of affections and also, of course, the spiritual reading turn into prayer too. Now, so spiritual reading help us to know God. And sometimes we have the spiritual conference, as we are doing right now. So of course, the conference, sometimes some people, they listen better, they learn better when there's a spoken word, somebody alive before they're talking. Sometimes when there are some conferences that for some particular group, it might be something that even more suitable, because it's something that is adapted to a particular group. So that's the advantage of a spiritual conference coming to retreat. And then another important means for holiness is the sanctification of social relationships. Now, in God's plan, other creatures are meant to help us to get to God. But because of original sin,
oftentimes pressure can lead us away from God. We are so immersed on money, you know, material things. Or even, you know, a friend, you know, if they are not good people, or if they are not people who really love God, can easily lead you away from God. You become lost, you know, when they are doing all kinds of bad things, and you just follow, you know, you can lost so easily. So that's why there is, because of our original sin, because of our fallen human nature, it's important for us to strive to sanctify our social relationship. It can be the relationship in family, first of all, but also in work, and also in friendship. So some relationships, of course, they are necessary. You cannot get away from your mother, you know, your family. So those are the ones that, no matter what, you strive to sanctify them. And then there are some, they really lead us to temptation. There can be some people, they are the friends that are not really true friends, but they are the ones who lead you to temptation. And those are the ones accomplished to remove them. Or to fortify ourselves, you know, not to fall into sin. And then also there are also some, they are not good, not bad. You know, they're just there, not good, not bad. So we have to try to make them good. I think when we remember that, not last year, but the year before, when we're talking about St. Francis itself, he's talking about there is the true friendship and the false friendship. St. Francis himself pointed out that the false friendship, the true friendship is the one that built on virtues. When you will good for your friend, your friend will good for you, and then there's a practice of virtues. When the virtue is human virtues, that's friend in the natural order. So even non-believers can have true friends because there is human virtue that can be practiced, you know, virtues like patience, gentleness, you know, caring, you know, it's all that can be practiced, you know, the human virtues. But when the sharing of virtues is supernatural, then it's a supernatural friendship. And that's the friendship that that can last for eternity. We remember talking about that in St. Catherine of Siena, the dialogue. God told St. Catherine, in heaven, we have a general love for one another, but also the particular love, you know, for people that we love on earth. That's supernatural friendship that can carry on for eternity. And so that is the willing the good of the other person mutually, but also there is the sharing of virtues, not only human virtue, but also supernatural virtues. But given, you know, the human state of condition, there is original sin. In order to strive for the friendship to be good, we have to make the effort to make it holy. Sometimes, you know, I think for us friends, it's good that we like to pay the office together, do prayer together. It is good that, you know, that we remember to pray for one another. It's good that we strive to, you know, practice virtues together. And of course, St. Francis himself pointed out there can be false friendship. That they are the appearance of friendship, but they are not quite the true friendship that share virtues. If talking about that is the friendship of carnal friendship, you know, a man and a woman just want sexual pleasure from each other, you know, that's not true virtues. And then they were talking about sentimental friendship, you know, that if they are friends because of something appeal to the emotion, you know, a good looking,
Or you know, the person has a sweet voice singing really well, you know, a sweet voice, you know, the sentimental friendship. And then there's the foolish friendship. The foolish friendship means it's some accomplishment that has nothing to do with virtue, like singing really well, or playing piano really well, you know, dancing really well, you know, those of the things have not much to do with virtues. They just appeal to your emotion. But now, of course, when we remember in the young adults group, when we are not quite young adults, but we are in the young adults group, you know, when we watch the DVD on friendship, it's mentioned about, I think the ancient philosopher Aristotle had something similar to Socrates himself. He mentioned about that is the friendship of utility, the friendship of pleasure, but also that's the true friendship. If you're thinking about what Aristotle is getting at, you know, friendship of pleasure and utility, it's a bit like what people idea, the foolish or sentimental friendship. And Aristotle would point out that those friendships, you know, is a lot of times you have to have those friendships in life, they are not true friends. And they might come and go, they don't last a long time. And they more focus on your own advantage rather than the advantage of the good of your friends. They are useful for you. Utility, do your homework for you, you know. By the secondary, we work together to have the class, utility. Pleasure, you know, it's nice to sing our own together, you know, this is for pleasure. So that kind of friendship can come and go. But when it is a friendship that is truly virtuous, then even in ancient philosophy would say that the kind of thing can last a lifetime. Supernatural friendship even for eternity. That lasts much longer, and then you're not thinking about your own advantage, but you really do the good for your friend. And so that's the spirit of sacrifice. It's something that given our fallen human nature is so easy that maybe at one point there may be a spirit of sacrifice, but later on when things just drag on, you focus more on yourself. It's just like when you talk about a rule of life for the day, right? At the beginning, you get up, you're so tired and bony. What are you offering? You know, it's like set a high tone, you know, for your day. And then like, when things drag on, you get nastier and nastier. And you want to eat. So you need to stop and pray so that your day will get more holy again. You renew your resolution, you stop and pray. And I think it's also like that for friendship. We can start well. But as things drag on, you can become more and more selfish and grumpy and, you know, and nasty. And so that's why we need to, even in friendship, we need to stop, you know, take back and pray for our friends and ask God and trust our friendship to God. Sometimes we need to, as friends, we pray together. That because that helps to set the tone for us constantly. That is a friendship we want to sanctify, we want to have them to become holy. When we were on priest retreat in May, the retreat master say, you know, priests do need friends. Surprise, huh? and the retreat master say, you know, what is the difference between regular friends and close friends? You know, close friends are the ones that you call each other up on the phone, that you meet up. That's it's so simple. You know, you think about the close friend or true friend, they have the conversation and the presence. We also heard that in the DVD too. Conversation and presence. But now, the thing is, we might have human friends that might be, you can call your best friend. Human friends. But also, the challenge is, if we want to sanctify friendship, we want to become holy, we must have our divine friend even better than our best friend, even closer to our best friend. And of course, our divine friend is Jesus. So, presence and conversation. So, every day when we do our virtual reading, we let God talk to us. When we pray the divine office or liturgy, we let God talk to us. But also we are talking to Him.
there's a conversation going on every day when we are faithful to our rule of life. When we spend time, you know, to be with God, to quietly meditate, to visit the Blessed Sacrament, that is the presence there. Jesus himself took the initiative. God inspired the Bible writer to write the Bible. Jesus himself instituted the priesthood, the Holy Eucharist, so that he can be present among us. He showed us that he wants us to be his friends. And he took the initiative. And so we should respond love by love. And so that's when we foster our friendship with Jesus, when he really becomes our best friend, in the sense that he's our divine friend, then it's much more easy to sanctify our friendship here on earth. Now, of course, you know, Jesus himself has favor too among his friends. But that doesn't mean it's exclusive. You know, his favorite, St. John the Apostle, he's called the one that loved love. We all know that Mary, Martha, and Mary are the favorite of Jesus. But even though he has some preference, he doesn't have, his love is not exclusive. You know, he has many other friends that form his community, his spiritual family. And that's because that love continues down through the ages. So also, in a sense, friendship is fruitful. That our friendship is not just a closed-in thing, but it's something that helps us when we love God in a good friendship way, it enhances our friendship with other people, with our close friends. And then our close friends relationship is good, it also brings blessing to other people as well. So it's important for us to have that desire, you know, as we learned in the DVD too, that when we have that desire to grow in virtue together, that's the most fundamental requirement for true friendship. And that's something that we have to sanctify. We have to sanctify to the best of our capacity.
So,
we go through how many means of holiness already? 8 of them, right? 4 of them are interior means to holiness, the desire to be holy, knowledge of God and of self, knowledge of God through meditation, knowledge of self through examination of conscience, and then we learn about that to conform to the will of God, to the grace of sacrifice, commandments, counsel, and circumstance of life, taking the cross.
And then also prayer.
Why we pray, and also how we pray well, we mentioned that. And then for the exterior means of holiness, we mentioned about oftentimes we need help from someone else, with spiritual direction. Rule of life, we have to, you know, schedule our day in such a way that we always focus on God and spend time. It's like eating and drinking. Our spiritual life, we need spiritual exercise to keep us strong. And then we also talk about that there is spiritual reading that helps us to keep on knowing God so that we love Him. And finally, sanctification of social relationships. That's the end of our retreat.